might say, and often no sort of proper or clear web design. So there's some pretty hideous examples out there of some old websites, and hopefully this doesn't ring too many bells with any of you and the websites of your organisation. But then things moved along with what's called Web 2.0, which is really just a marketing term, so don't worry too much about the word Web 2.0, some people use that. Really, it's just a generic term that means social media, new media, social networking, they're all the same sort of thing. But the key feature that websites like this have got in them are ways that you can interact and ways that you can... interact with the organisation. The beep's going on in the background now. So for example here, first thing that you see on this website in the middle there is a YouTube video that's been embedded into the centre of the website. Starts playing with details of what the organisation's doing. There's a Facebook, what's called a Facebook widget, that's been embedded into the website, so any interactions, anything that's coming through from Facebook, get picked up straight away. Likewise there's a Twitter box with the latest messages from Twitter. So it just makes the website a lot more vibrant, a lot more interactive, a lot more dynamic with changes taking place all the time. And because any of these websites, particularly things like YouTube, you can go off and watch that YouTube video and then leave comments underneath it. So YouTube is an interactive space. So straight away, you can leave comments and the organisation can respond back to those comments. There's also other little ways here, which we won't really touch on today, so things like RSS feeds, if you want to be kept up to date, and there's a subscribe button there to follow the work of that organisation through an email bulletin. So lots of different places where participation is encouraged. So what I'm saying is it's about conversations. It's about having an interaction with an organisation, having a two-way sort of two-way process with what the organisation is doing. It's about it being a conversational web, not a broadcast.
Excuse me, Paul.
Yeah.
I'm just going to mute everyone again because we're having a lot of background noise, so you'll need to press #6. So apologies to everyone. I appreciate this is interrupting the flow, but please sort of bear with us. So I'm just going to mute everyone again, and Paul, if you could press #6. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, am I on again?
I can hear you.
You can hear me. Hopefully everybody else can hear me. If you can't hear me, raise your hand, I guess is what we should say. No hands up. Good. Okay, at this point, yes. You probably are all at different sort of stages of how you use social media within your organisations or how you use it personally, and these are just some of the examples of different types of organisation, different types of websites. So if you can sort of see how you fit into each of these here, have you got a website that you can update yourself, which is quite an important aspect of using social media, because you need to be able to have some sort of control of what's called the content management system so that you can embed things like that video that we saw on the previous screen, so that you can include things like Twitter in there. Perhaps you have a blog where you can share more personal updates about the work of an organisation, video, sharing of pictures, any of those sorts of content sharing systems. And then some organisations will have Facebook pages or use Twitter, perhaps LinkedIn conversations and connections. So we'll have a look at these. Or it could be that you come in at this with no sort of knowledge, no background, and you just want to see some sort of different ideas and different inspiration. So hopefully we're going to cater for all of that. First of all, just a few numbers of the background, and there's been some research published this morning, actually. I don't know if anybody's caught the news this morning. The latest figures from Ofcom on use of the internet. So, apologies, some of these numbers may be slightly, these are sort of last year's figures, so if you want the latest update, then, and I'm sure we can share the link with you afterwards, to the latest web research about use of the internet, which has come out this morning. But just in general, there's some sort of facts and figures on there, and they are quite staggering. I do occasionally come to, and I do workshops and do training, and people say, oh, well, the internet, it's a passing phase. We'll have moved on to something else fairly soon, this use of all these websites, it's just like the difference between different sort of types of technology back in the day. But this is one thing that I don't think is going to go away. I think if you ask anybody, we're not sort of going to see a decline to the use of the internet. So there are some pretty big numbers out there, particularly things like YouTube, which people don't often think as being not being important, but it's not a Facebook, it's not a Google, but 30 hours of content are uploaded to YouTube every minute. That's a lot of content being shared, being accessed by people all the time. Twitter, I'm a particular fan of Twitter, not everybody is. 100,000 new tweets around the world. That's a lot of messages being shared. So there's a lot of content, a lot of things that you can access, and a lot of things that you can share. Some of the numbers for sort of here in the UK, just to show its importance. Of all the websites visited in the UK, that's across any website, two out of the top three are what's called social media, social networking websites. Got Facebook and YouTube up there at the top. Facebook, YouTube and Twitter. My lights are gone there. 77% of the UK adult population, that's sort of internet users, have got a Facebook account. It's something that it is being used a lot. YouTube, the second most popular way that people search for content on the internet. People think Google's the top way that you would search, but YouTube is up there as the second most popular one. And I've just included that one at the bottom there, a website called Pinterest. I don't know if we've got any Pinterest users out there. It's an up-and-coming website. It's great for sharing. If you're a visual sort of person, you like sharing things visually, then Pinterest is the website to watch. Again, lots more numbers and stats here, particularly ones relevant to the children's and young people's audience. 96% of people aged 18 to 34 have got a presence on at least one social media website. Whether that's YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, or some of the other networking websites. 55% of people are checking their networks at least once a day. So it's something that people do regularly. It's something that they're always on there and checking what's going on, checking latest updates from friends and colleagues and people that they're connected to. Particularly the 30% of people check their status as soon as they wake up in the morning. First thing you do is switch off the alarm clock and see what people have been saying on Facebook. I must admit I'm slightly guilty of that with Twitter. In this connected world, we need to see what's going on. We need to know what's happening. Mentioning also in here about access to the web in other ways, and particularly the research that's come out today highlights this, that we're now increasingly connecting to the internet through mobile phones, through tablet computers. I think the stat from today, access to the internet has gone up from 2% last year to 11% by tablet computers. So more and more people are buying the iPad, the Android-based tablets, the price of those is coming down. So they're becoming more affordable, more accessible to everybody. We're increasingly seeing access to the internet as being the primary device that people are using. And young people, I think the figure there about 51% of the UK phone market being on smartphones, it's greater than that. 66% of young people have got an iPhone or an Android phone or one of the smartphones. The point to make really about this, if you're designing a website for an organisation, if you're in any way connected to looking at commissioning a new website for your organisation, have you looked at how it looks like on a phone or a tablet? If that's the way that people are coming to find out about the services that you run and the services that you put on, the youth facilities, the drop-in centres, if you're advertising that on a website, have you had a look how that website looks through a mobile phone? It's important to make sure that it's optimised for that and that people can access it that way. You'll find increasingly a lot of the older websites, those Web 1.0 websites, either won't work at all on some devices or just look so difficult and so be so hard to navigate that it's impossible. So if you're looking at commissioning a new website, make sure the web designers thought about that and you include that in the specification. It's not something that apply to everybody, but about. So social media, finishing the numbers side of things, it starts conversations, it encourages people to pass on to others and finds new ways for that information to travel around of its own sort of accord. That information is being passed around by people, and we'll look at what I mean by that in a second. So there's probably a number of reasons that why you're in this webinar this morning, really, to look at what holds you back, and some of those may be more familiar to this to some of you than others. Could be that you're not quite sure where to start, could be why you're here today. I've heard about this, but I'm not quite sure what I should be doing next, what's the best way to take, how should I make the most impact. Lack of knowledge, it can be very daunting. And you see some of the, you look at somebody's Twitter page and it's got lots of apps and hashes and sort of direct abbreviations and things in there. So it can be a bit difficult to know where to start. Capacity and resources can be a problem as well. I think this is going to take so much of my time, we're a small organisation, we've had funding cuts, can't possibly devote any more time to this, so how can I possibly give any time over to social media? In some cases, and I know some of the people that work in more rural areas, talking to a group last week, where they just don't have access, or don't have reliable fast access. So that's something else that you need to think about. Have I got broadband access? Have I got fast access to be able to download YouTube videos? So that's the another reason. And even down the bottom there, what's the point of this? Does it actually make any difference from what you've seen and what you hear about? The way that people are using the internet more and more, the primary way that people are accessing services, there is a point. It's not something that hide away from us. You need to sort of think about response times as well. Anybody who's using Twitter or Facebook, some of those numbers are a bit scary, really. You've probably got a point where if somebody writes a letter to your organisation or sends you an email, then we'll reply back to you within 7 days. If you were to try and implement or try and copy any of those across to the online internet world, then it doesn't really cut across that way. Facebook and Twitter. Yes, sir, Master.
Hi, could I just remind everyone to please mute their handsets just to keep the background noise down so we can all hear Paul. And the way you would do that is just to press the hash key followed by the number 6 on your handset or soft phone. Thank you again. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Right, okay, what I'm going to do here, apologies folks, is I'm just going to mute everyone. So Paul, if you could press hash 6 when I've done that. Thank you. Sorry about this, folks.
No, that's the other way. Is that right? Hello again. I'm back.
Morning, Paul.
Morning, Mario.
Carry on.
Okay. So yes, you need to be able to reply back quickly and immediately to queries that come in through social media websites, the Facebook and Twitter. But how much time do organisations actually allocate to that? I won't sort of ask anybody to make any guesses. Less than half a day. 86% of organisations allocate less than half a day to using and maintaining their social media presence. Hello. Are you there, Miles?
Hello. Hello. Hi.
Hello, Miles. Sorry. This is a little crackly there.
Thought we had a caller on the line. Right. Yep. Apologies, everyone. Carry on, Paul.
Okay. Yeah, 86% of organisations allocate less than half a day a week to using and maintaining their social media presence. Whether that number's sort of familiar to you and what you're doing. But it's not a lot of time. It does take a little bit more than that, and we've got some sort of figures at the end to show you how much time you should be allocating. But just to sort of set the scene, I suppose, and just to make you think about how you're using social media at the moment in the work that you're doing. Also, a couple of other numbers there from a survey that we did in the East Midlands earlier on this year about having a plan or a strategy. So thinking about how you're going to use these websites in a sort of a joined up connected way to make a difference to what you're doing, having a bit of a plan to that, and I'll show you a slide in a minute with some thoughts on how to plan social media use. And also very importantly really is having some social media guidelines for responsible use. Having a bit of a something that people sign up to. So you've probably got other policies within your organisation, things like best use of the internet, acceptable use. Like, you know, if you're booking a holiday, then don't do it during work sort of time. Sort of personal use of the internet. It's important to have guidelines around how people within your organisation, people that volunteer for you, how they're going to be responsible on social media, what they're going to say, what they can say, and when they can say it. Not sort of a policy that restricts them and stops them from doing it, but more about guidelines that people are comfortable with and that you're comfortable with as organisations. Okay. So a little bit here about planning use of social media. It's sort of a five-step process really I've got here. Start off by thinking what the objectives are of what you're trying to do. So you've probably got a communications plan, of organisations will have, so you know what you're trying to achieve, whether that be the example here, giving local young people a safe place to meet. It can be as simple as that, just a statement that says, this is what we want to be able to do, this is what our group, this is what our organisation, this is the people that we're working with, this is what we're here to do. Have a look who your audience are, and I've got the next slide a bit about that. So do you know who your audience are? Do you do like an annual survey of service users, of people that are members of your organisation? Do you know how they like to receive the news from you? It could be that, again, another organisation I was talking to a couple of weeks ago, where they haven't done a survey of members for 2 or 3 years. Well, technology and communications methods have moved on so much in that period of time. So they're about to do another survey now to ask people, if we were to set up a Facebook group or if we were to have a presence on Twitter, would you subscribe to us? Would you follow us? Would you prefer this as a way to receive your information? And if you're working with young people, then they would probably be more likely, in fact, probably almost guarantee, that that young people would be more likely to receive and be happy to receive information through Facebook than be sent an email about something, because that's just not something that's gone. Also, the costs of sending things out electronically are hugely less than a lot less than sort of traditional paper newsletters, mailings, things like that. So then, having a strategy, and strategy is one of those words that always sounds very very sort of complicated and everything, but actually a strategy really in this case is just, you know, we're going to do an event. An organisation I met last week taking part in a duck race, sending sort of floating little yellow ducks down a river for sponsorship, and you all sort of buy one of these and then send it off down the river, and they're going to do a video of that. So this strategy really is just saying, we've got this event coming up, what can we do as part of that to use social media? And this is sort of the fourth one, so we've come down to the fourth stage of this little plan here before we even look at what the tools are. So don't sort of dive straight in and say, well, we must be on Facebook because the group down the road is on Facebook, or we've heard about somebody else is using Twitter, so we must do that. Don't necessarily jump straight in and say we need to do that because everybody else is. It's important to have those sort of three steps done first and then look at what the best tool is. And have a look around, have a good old dig around, have a look at how organisations are using Facebook, are using Twitter already, videos that other groups have put up, and we'll look at some examples of those in just a second. And learn from other people, be inspired by other people and the work that they're doing. And then the last one on there is about sustaining that conversation. So making sure if you've got something set up, if you've got that video on the front page of your website, if you've got a Facebook page, then and this is where it does sometimes need a little bit of a sort of a draw on your time, is to keep that conversation going. So if somebody comments on your Facebook page, if somebody adds something onto your blog that you've written, then make sure you go back in and thank them. Make sure that you follow up those conversations. If you see something on Twitter, then where you're mentioned, then reply back to that person. It's important to sustain that and keep things going, keep the conversation going. Okay, so this is really just going back to that one about your objectives of the organisation, and this isn't something necessary to do now, although it's something you can sort of take away from this session and think about. Could you write down what your key message is in 140 characters? 140 characters is the length of a tweet. So could you summarise what your organisation's doing or the event that you're about to run in 140 characters and send that out as a tweet or a text message? It's quite easy to be wordy about things, but could you summarise what you're doing? What sort of hooks would you use? Words, keywords that make the messages that you're sending out interesting and inviting for people so that they are interested and they do want to follow what you're doing. And then, could you blog about that? Could you make a video? All those sorts of ways that you're using, you can use social media, making it interesting for people. About an audience, so finding out who your audience are. If you're not quite sure, then about doing a survey. It's so much easier to work with your audience where they are. So, for example, back to what I was saying about young people and how young people and people's groups are using websites like Facebook so much, don't try and set up a presence on another website or have an old website or think that the organisation knows the best way to do it when your audience and all those people that you're trying to reach are already out there on some other site. It's much easier for you to move your messages to that other place and to talk to people where they're comfortable, rather than say you're running an event, trying to encourage people to join in with something that you're doing, and they've got to learn about the way that your website works, or the way that the system that you've chosen to talk to people, the system that you've chosen to promote your work. They have to learn that as well. So go to the places where people are comfortable. Go to Facebook, have a presence on Facebook, and talk to people there where they're already familiar with what goes on and how Facebook works. It just makes it so much easier to get those messages across. It's important to think about how the websites are going to work, how the one that you're going to choose. So we're just about to come in onto sort of choosing what the best website. I'm looking at some examples of websites. But when you put a message out there, as soon as you put that message out onto Twitter or out onto Facebook, that message is live as soon as you say it. So it's not like it's something where you can, I mean, there are ways to obviously put things in a draft format and then publish it. But once that message has gone out onto Facebook or gone out onto Twitter, it's there, and it's there forever. So, although it's not really easy to retract messages you see some of the PR things that have gone on recently in the press. There are ways to sort of try and sort of claw things back, but remember that when you say something on the social media website, it's out there and people are using it, people are listening to it, people are interacting with that all the time. And people will share that, and people will share it and share it around to all their friends as well. So also remember that what you're saying, make sure that it's not something that could perhaps be interpreted in the wrong way, or could be spun in the wrong way. So be confident, be sure about what you're saying. Okay, and then moving on next to some of the websites that we can use. And this is a quick picture of some of them, and there's hundreds, many, many more websites that you can use and you can pick on. Most of them are free. Just to say, a lot of the things that we're going to talk about here, these websites are free. Some of them will have got like premium versions or paid for versions, but generally things like Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, they're all free. The only cost to all of this, I suppose, the only cost, if that's the right way to put it, is time. It does take time to use these websites, it just takes time to be familiar with them. But it's not like having to go out and invest lots of money, thousands of pounds in new equipment, new servers, new technology, new computers. All these websites will work on just about any computer, and obviously any mobile device as well that we mentioned. So it's important to find the best tool for the job, like with any job that you're doing. Some people prefer audio, some people prefer pictures, some people prefer video. So looking at what best one is there. And also different people engage in different levels of conversation. So a blog can be a bit more of a larger post, whereas obviously tweets, as we said, a short 140 character update, just little post updates. So we'll look at different ways that organisation to using those. So starting off here with a website called Audioboo, which is again, it's a free website where you can make short audio clips, audio recordings of people. This one here is an example from Chris Stevenson at the Charles I Foundation. He knows the work. And it's sort of a quick summary, 5-minute summary of the latest news of what they're doing. Audio, really what's called lo-fi, low bandwidth, easy to access audio. People who've got iPods or sort of MP3 players, you can download somebody's Audioboo recording, download somebody's podcast, listen to that on the bus on the way into work, listen to it while you're out and about. Just an easy, simple way to keep up to date with the work of an organisation. I also find that a lot of people...
Excuse me, Paul.
Yes?
Question for you. Could you explain to folks what RSS stands for and what RSS ready means.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, I can do that.